Failure is not an option. Mission control from Mercury to Apollo 13 and beyond. By Gene Kranz. Narrated by Danny Campbell. Copyright 2009 by Gene Kranz. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Creative Well Incorporated and was produced in the year 2011 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. 1. The 4-inch flight. Houston, we have a problem. At some time in the hours that followed that terse announcement from Apollo 13, many of us in NASA's Mission Control Center wondered if we were going to lose the crew. Each of us had indelible memories of that awful day 3 years before, when three other astronauts sat in an Apollo spacecraft firmly anchored to the ground, running a systems test. Routine. In terms of the distances involved in spaceflight, we could almost reach out and touch them. Moments after the first intimation that something had gone terribly wrong, technicians were up in the gantry, desperately trying to open the hatch. It took only seconds for an electrical glitch to ignite the oxygen-rich atmosphere of the cabin, creating a fire that was virtually a contained explosion. In those few seconds, the men inside the capsule knew what was happening, and they must have realized, at the last moment, that there was no escape. We simply could not reach them in time. Now, three equally brave men were far beyond us in distance, far out in the vast absolute zero world of space, the most deadly and unforgiving environment ever experienced by man. We could measure the distances in miles, but with so many miles the number was an abstraction, albeit one we had become used to dealing with in matter-of-fact fashion. We could reach them only with our voices, and they could speak to us only through the tenuous link of radio signals from precisely directional radio antennas. This time they were truly beyond our reach, time and distance. So close were we in the Apollo fire that claimed the first three Americans to be killed in a spacecraft. Now we were so far, so very far away. Once again, technology had failed us. We had not anticipated what happened back then, on Earth. We had not anticipated what had happened this time. In fact, it would be hours before we really understood what had happened. There was one big difference in this case. We could buy time. What we could not accomplish through technology or procedures and operating manuals, we might be able to manage by drawing on a priceless fund of experience, accumulated over almost a decade of sending men into places far beyond the envelope of Earth's protective, nurturing atmosphere. All we had to work with was time and experience. The term we used was workaround options, other ways of doing things, solutions to problems that weren't to be found in manuals and schematics. These three astronauts were beyond our physical reach, but not beyond the reach of human imagination, inventiveness, and a creed that we all lived by. Failure is not an option. That was not true in the beginning of the space program. There had been many early failures back then, because we hadn't learned enough about the perilous business in which we were engaged. Would it happen again, the loss of three men? We had failed our crew in Apollo 1. This time we had a few hours to do something. But did we have the wisdom? And could we somehow build not just on our own years of experience, but the courage and resourcefulness of three astronauts far, far from home? Sociologists and engineers call it the human factor. It's what we must depend on when all the glittering technology seems suddenly useless. For me and others sitting safely in Mission Control in Houston, we could depend only on a learning curve that started at a place that wasn't more than a complex of sand, marsh, and new raw concrete and asphalt. It wasn't even Kennedy Space Center then. But it was our first classroom and laboratory. And all we had learned since those first uncertain years would be what we had to work with to figure